Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Jerry Mathers. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I couldn't be better. How are you guys doing?
We're fine. We're not going to be at the World of Wheels Auto Show, so, you know.
Well, then you're going to miss out a lot of fun. I'll tell you, a lot of beautiful cars there.
Yeah. So you're coming to town. When are you there? When are you at the World of Wheels, Jerry?
Sunday, and I'll be there from 1 to 5 p.m. At the Wisconsin State Fair Exposition Center. And there's going to be a lot of nice cars. I'll be signing autographs. I have autograph pictures to sign, and I hope a lot of folks come out there and I can meet them and say hello.
So are they going to park you by like a car from when Leave It to Beaver was in its heyday, or?
What's
well,
the connection?
Well, there are a lot of them, but a lot of these are custom cars, though. Yeah. So, you know, even though it's from the 57 through 63 era, these cars look probably better than they did when they were brand new.
I kind of, Batman had the Batmobile. Did the Cleavers, I don't know, did they go through a lot of vehicles? Do you remember one over any others? Or?
Well, the best one was Lumpy's.
Yeah.
He had a 40 Ford convertible, which Ooh. Is really rare. But those all came out of, see, the motor pool at Universal. So that had been there probably since the 1940s.
Wow.
We always had Plymouths because Plymouth, it wasn't a sponsor, but they donated all the cars to the show. So we always had a brand, every year,
a brand new
Plymouth.
Okay, so that's kind of, you know, I just.
And if you notice in the background, there's nothing but Plymouths because
really,
they gave the cars, they sent a whole bunch. So all the streets are filled with all Plymouths.
I guess I just assumed that Mayfield had a Plymouth plant nearby.
Yeah, we had a Plymouth plant and nobody else was allowed to drive on the street.
Or it was the Twilight Zone.
Boys,
you study hard in school, or you'll just be at the Plymouth plant the rest of your life.
Those are good jobs. You kidding?
That's yeah, right.
They were good jobs back then. So when you guys would go up to Friends Lake, you were taking the Plymouth up there, right?
Well, we take the bus because. But yes, when the Cleavers supposedly went there, but that was all on the back lot, Friends Lake, and there's two lakes on the back lot of Universal. So you'll see them in a lot of, like, wagon trains and Spartacus, if you ever see the water.
Was it Beaver just there? Yes. Cowboy Roundup.
Where was Mayfield located, Jerry?
Anywhere USA. Yeah. It was never really said. In fact, they went to a lot of trouble a lot of times. A couple times I was going to take bus trips or do stuff like this, and they would have it on, like, when we went into the set, it'd say, you know, Boston, so much money. You know, Los Angeles so much, and they always took those signs down because they didn't even want people to be able to figure out that it was closer to Boston. And people have always said, you know, oh, I think it's here, it's Middle America. Well, that's what it is. It's someplace in Middle America, but they didn't want anybody to be able to say it was this state or this city.
And then somewhere along the line, Hollywood said, yes, we're going to put a show right in Cleveland or Milwaukee or...
Well, that was more specific. Those people, you know, those things, they wanted to use that city as, you know, a certain type of thing. But Mayfield, because it went all over the United States, but all over the world, Leave It to Beaver plays in like 49 different languages. So they wanted it to be every place in America when it was, especially in the foreign markets.
Did you ever see yourself speaking German or Ward telling you, boys, uns getauten?
Well, German's not bad, but the one that's kind of funny is Japanese because for some reason they used a little girl to do my voice, which is fine for the first year or two. But by the end, I'm like 14 years old. Not only am I speaking Japanese, but I have a really high voice.
How old were you when you started the show?
I was about 8 when I started Leave It to Beaver, but I've been an actor since I was 2 years old. I started on live TV at 2 years old and did a whole lot. I worked with Alfred Hitchcock. I did The Trouble with Harry, which was Shirley MacLaine's first movie. It wasn't mine. I did 2 movies with Bob Hope. I did an awful lot of movies and a lot of live TV before I ever started Leave It to Beaver in 1957.
Didn't you and Hugh Beaumont do something together before Leave It to Beaver?
Well, Hugh Beaumont was actually a Methodist minister in real life, and he had actually started to be an actor before Leave It to Beaver to support a very, very poor congregation that he had down in a very bad part of L.A. Actually, he was working with alcoholics down there.
Wow.
And so that's how he became an actor, And he still did it, actually, when he was doing Leave It to Beaver. He'd go down on weekends. But he was just a really interesting guy. I always thought that when, you know, he takes the Beaver in and talks to him after I've done whatever I did for that show.
Well,
that
let's get, yeah, I got another question for you.
Head in the stair rail.
Kind of go into his you know, his minister, whatever. And that's why he was so good at that part.
When you're a little kid and Beaver would do whatever, did it occur to you that what he was doing was stupid?
Oh, sometimes, but you know, kids do stupid things. I did a lot of stupid things.
Right.
I look back now
so when, you know, when you were growing up, did you kind of look at whatever Beaver was doing and go, this is insanity.
I shouldn't get
this
in that
kid
teacup.
Is too dumb.
Well, you know what? This is the interesting part about Leave It to Beaver. Do you know that every episode is based on... Now, the writers had 15 kids between them, the two writers, and they just took all the episodes, not from their kids, but friends.
Really?
But every one of the things that happened on Leave It to Beaver actually happened to a child in the United States. And sometimes they had daughters, too, so sometimes it'd be adjusted a little bit, but it's things that girls did.
Really? So
wow.
Playing baseball with an autographed ball or getting stuck
a
in
Babe
a
Ruth.
Teacup or something yep. like that all happened.
It all happened or to somebody. Now, you know, obviously to make it for a TV show, they would pump it up and, you know, change it a lot. But all the stories actually in some way had their seed or their, you know, whatever in something that really happened to one of their kids, or my mom would tell them if I did something, Tony's mom
sure.
would tell them if he. So they all come from real life. And, of course, to put them on television, they were pumped up and changed a lot, but they all have their seed in something that really happened to kids.
Which is
I
great.
Think that's why it goes on so well, because things that kids were doing in the 50s they're still doing today.
It's just that, you know, it took 15 or more kids to come up with those stories, but they were all happening to Beaver.
That's right. You know, you have to do 39 shows a year. We did 39 shows a year for 6 years, so they needed a lot of kids and a lot of stories.
Brian has a phrase about the young...
Like Beaver was too stupid to live. I mean,
yeah, but
he'd be dead by now. Yeah, he
survived.
He did.
Now, maybe the most dangerous thing you ever did, Jerry, was the episode where you took in a bum and you let him take a bath and you gave him one. Did he take one of Ward's suits or did you give it to him?
I gave him one of Ward's old suits.
An old suit.
You know?
What's wrong with that?
The most dangerous one I ever did was when I went and fell up into the soup bowl.
That's
that was
my
real
favorite.
Billboard that I had to climb up on. That was the one that they were most worried about. So that was the most dangerous one. But, you know, all the shows are from real life. So one of the writer's kids had found somebody. I don't think he was, you know, he was a guy that was down on his luck, and he had given one of his dad's suits to the guy.
But there was a bathtub scene in that episode, Jerry. With the
bum. A lot of bathtub scenes.
Like you walk into your bathroom and...
What about ordering the crocodile through the mail? Or
my
the alligator?
Dad did that. My dad literally did that.
Everybody did that in the 50s. You
really?
Send
yep.
to Florida. Gatorland would send you an alligator.
Yeah, my dad named
Mikey.
What
I like about the taking the bath is Beaver and the Wally go and put dirt in their jeans and bring it home and then put the water in and then throw dirt in the bath so it'll leave a ring.
Beaver did not like to get in the bathtub. But you guys had a nice little suite up there for your bedroom.
Wish I'd have had that.
Yeah,
I have a sister and three brothers, and we had two bathrooms, so it was a lot more fighting to get in first to be able to go wherever you had to go.
Down the hall, right.
Did you ever go home and go, boy, this isn't near as nice as the bedroom I have on set?
I bet he did. He said he did stupid
not
things.
Not really. I mean, you know, I had a really good – my dad was probably the best person to raise a kid that was an actor because he retired as a superintendent of L.A. City Schools, but when I was doing Leave It to Beaver, he was a vice principal and principal of the largest high school in the Los Angeles, LA, you know, Unified School District. So he was dealing with the very worst of kids and the very best of kids. And he had a paddle because they in those days, if you did something wrong, you could go up to the vice principal or principal's office and he'd say, you've got a choice. I can call your parents or you can take a SWAT. So at the end of the year, the paddle came home. And guess what? I didn't get that choice.
Yeah, you're getting a beating today, Jerry.
Yeah, it wasn't a beating. It was a good SWAT, but I'll tell you, it definitely got your attention.
When they were doing the Brady Bunch, Barry Williams admitted he had a huge crush on Florence Henderson, who played his mom. You know, she was Carol Brady. He was Greg Brady, the son. You ever have a crush on...
A coworker?
On your
Barbara
mom?
Billingsley?
Yeah, Barbara Billingsley, right.
No, not really. I mean, I knew that, you know, she was like an aunt or someone that she was just really nice. She was a very pretty lady, and We had a lot of fun together. Barbara and Hugh was kind of interesting. The person that played the father, Hugh Beaumont, he was actually a Methodist minister and had actually come into acting just so he could support a very poor church for alcoholics down in the worst part of L.A. And he was Michael Shane in that one, and it was a B-movie. It would show before the regular ones, and he beat up people and was just a real tough private detective. So when he did Leave It to Beaver, it was much more like, you know, I think when he took me in at the end of each show and had that little talk with me, it was much more of him being a minister.
In the den.
Michael Shane, who would have taken me in and broken my arm.
Why did you guys have to move? You were in two different houses. You went from that brown house to the one that is more remembered, really, for the exterior shots. Why did you guys have to change houses?
See, you've got a very keen eye. Universal Studios was bought by Review MCA, Music Corporation of America, that also does all the records and are a huge theatrical business. But we were at a very small studio called Review, and then they bought Universal, which was a huge lot. I forget how many, 300 or 400 acre lot in Los Angeles. And so when they moved, we had to move because we were one of their shows. So the whole studio, all of a sudden, everything left the one studio and went to the other one.
So you just picked a house, on the Universal lot that became the family home?
It's called Colonial Street. There are about 15 houses. It's very, very funny, actually, because people see the house and they go, oh, well, where is that house? Well, it's on the back lot. But when you walk in the front door, there's a little stoop of about 6 feet by 6 feet of cement, and then it drops off, and it's just dirt on the ground. So it's really a facade. If you go up to the second story, they have to put a ladder up there, and there's a platform. And so, like, if you wave out the window or anything like you have to go up on a ladder, get on this little platform, and be very careful that you don't fall two stories down.
Do you ever talk to, Rusty Stevens, who played Larry Mondello, or any of those guys?
Well, he's the one person I really don't keep very much in contact with. And if you really watch the show, he's only on for two seasons. And then his dad got transferred to Florida, and so the whole family moved, and we just never kept in touch. So he's someplace, you know, wherever, but like Tony Dow, Ken Osmond, Frank Bank, who's passed away, but a lot of them were still here, and we were all very, very good friends.
But not Larry. It's kind of lost track.
He's only in like two seasons. He's such a great character that people remember him, but he's not in the later seasons.
Let's talk about your other best friends, Gilbert. Do you stay in touch with Gilbert?
Well, yes, I do. He doesn't live here. He is a professor, and he lives on the East Coast. So a lot of times when I'm back there, you know, if I'm near his city, Tony Dow, of course, and myself are very good friends. But most of the people have moved out from here, and a lot of them aren't actors anymore. So it's not like I see them when I go to stuff for my, you know, the union, like the academies and all those different award shows and stuff. A lot of them just aren't here anymore.
What about like Creepy Judy and...
I see her once in a while, most of them were child actors and didn't go back into acting. I mean, it's not like they're actors, so they're not active in the unions, and they're living their lives. And if something comes up, and say somebody says, "Oh, we want to do a reunion or something," I'll call them, and if they're not busy, we'll go do it. But it's a lot of fun to have friends like that. But it's people, you know, like in a regular business, when you leave that one job. You know, you may see the person once every 4 or 5 years or, you know, whatever.
Well, Whitey was your buddy, right?
Right, right.
Chewy was Wally's buddy, correct?
Right. Absolutely.
They were brothers in real life.
Right. And actually, Whitey, Stanley Fafara, has passed away. So, you know, we're getting up there now. We're all in our, you know, 60s, and especially the ones that were Wally's friends. Ken Osmond is still with us, but Frank Bank passed away, and a lot of the other, you know, the lesser characters, and a lot of the adult actors have also passed away.
You got to work with Richard Deacon, who was Fred Rutherford, who was just a blowhard.
Yep, and he was the nicest guy. You know, that's the funny part. He was just such a good actor, and everybody thought, oh, he had to be just like that to be able to be like that.
Oh, he's the same way on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
The nicest guy. Yeah, he was on the Dick. He worked all the time. He also did a lot of dinner theater and stage work, so he was working all the time, and we were lucky to get him. That's why probably he's not in more episodes, because they'd call up and he'd say, no, I'm sorry, I'm doing a play this weekend or this month, you know, wherever, so... He was just the Dick Van Dyke Show, but he was just really a very, very funny guy.
He had two great lines. Ward, old man. And yep. my boy Clarence.
My boy Clarence.
And Clarence was his boy, that's for sure.
I mean, come on, those are classics. Ward, old man. And Ward couldn't stand him. He'd roll his eyes down at the club and all those things, and they worked together. It was like Fred just followed Ward around.
Yep, he was his little lapdog. But, you know, there are really, and you know that, and I know that, that everybody has somebody like that. They're people that, you know, you don't hate, but they're annoying.
What was Ward's job? Did we ever figure
Nobody
that out?
Nobody ever knows. He worked in Mayfield, but they didn't want to ever just pin him down in case there was a show. Because, I mean, they were writing a show one a week for 39 weeks. So in case something came up where they wanted to say, oh, he was an insurance salesman, he was a stockbroker, he was, you know, he had some kind of an executive job because he wore a suit and tie every day to work.
Right.
But they never pinned him down in case something would come up where they wanted to say he had this specific job.
We know it was a CB.
Yeah.
Yep.
He talked about that in an episode. I remember that.
Yep, during World War II.
Right.
He would have been a CB. Of course, everybody... Back then, my dad was a pilot. Tony's dad was in the Navy. So everybody's dad, you know, at that time spent time in the military because of World War II.
Yeah. So that got thrown in there. But you guys were never very specific about those things. What was your favorite episode? If you had to pick one, where would you go?
I actually like one of the very first ones where I bring home an alligator, because at the time you could go to, it was Jungle Land or something, and actually buy alligators. And take them home. And I had actually bought one, and that's where that show came from.
Oh, really?
Because when you bought them
really
home, they didn't make the best pets. It's very hard to train an alligator, especially not to bite. And, you know, you had to keep it warm. Even though it's California, it still gets cold. So you had to keep the water warm. And they weren't the best of pets, but that's where that episode came from. In fact, a lot of the episodes, things that we do in the show, and that's why I think it lasts so long, is because they're things that kids really did. If the writers saw us doing something that was funny, you know, like two shows later, we'd be doing the same thing on the show, and we'd go, that's weird, because that's something I do. And they'd go, yeah, that's why you put it in.
How weird was it when the show was over?
It wasn't that odd. It was a very good time for me. And in some ways, you know, we ran for six seasons, and then your contracts come back up. But it was actually my freshman year in high school, so I was kind of looking forward, hoping that I could go to a regular high school because, you know, there were dances and I wanted to be on the sports team. I was on the football team and the track team, which were things I wouldn't have been able to do had the show gone on. And so they just said, we've got, you know, six good years. There's 234 episodes. That's enough to, you know, show almost one a day with the holidays and things that it doesn't play on. So they said, we've got a great show. Why try to put it on for another couple years? It may be as good, but, it, you know, there may not be as good. Because we were all getting older. So they said, let's just shut it down and we'll see what happens.
Jerry, maybe everybody knows this, but I don't think I do. Where did the nickname The Beaver ever come from?
They never really said. The writers, they had just come up. You know, when I walked in for the first reading in 1956, actually, late 56, they said this character is named The Beaver, but they never said. And people have always asked me that, and I just don't have a good answer.
Okay.
All right.
Some people say it's because I have buck teeth, but I don't know if that's it or not.
All right. Well, Jerry, pack a coat. You're coming to the World of Wheels here in Milwaukee this weekend.
Sounds good to me. It's a good show. I'll have a good time. I love looking at those nice, shiny cars. I'm glad I don't have to buff them up all the time, though.
Plymouth. Buy Plymouth. Go with the Plymouth.
You'll be out there Sunday from 1 till 5. Thanks for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Pleasure talking with you. Have a good day.
Jerry Mathers.